Chris from the Snips, and you're listening to The Grind on PRC.
I'm actually impressed with my Jaeger shots. I'm talking clearly.
Yeah.
At least I could see clearly.
Ready?
Yep.
This is Ken.
This is Jim.
This is Chris.
Del Rio.
We are the implants, and you're watching out. Oh, my God. You're checking out The Grind at PRC.
So hot. What do you do about
that? Oh, that's so sexy.
The fucking Grind at PRC.
There you go.
All right. Ken, take four. Fuck.
This is Ken.
This is Jim.
This is Chris.
Del Rio.
We are the implants, and you're checking out The Grind at PRC.
Way too long. I took it all for granted. I push it all aside. It's like it never mattered, but my mind has known the lie. I've waited for something left behind. Life passes, don't let it pass you by. I've waited for something left behind. Nothing less, nothing more until you're satisfied.
Implants with Life Passes, and a blooper reel of a station ID as we wrapped up our interview way past our bedtimes in the mind-numbingly cold of a December Calgary evening. Welcome to The Grind. This is volume 145. And after looking at my calendar today, my workload at work and the amount of a flu I have left, I've decided this will also be our last show before Christmas. So I guess this is our Christmas show, or should I say, Mass Chris show. More Chris's in this show than usual, four times the Chris's of an average volume. So Merry Mass Chris to you. And that's about as festive as this show is going to get. Along with our interview with Implants and my conversation with Chris from the Snips, who are currently mid-winter's tour in Ontario and Quebec, we'll be hearing three bands in our From the Mailbox features. Fast Melodic Punk from Ecuador, That's No Big Deal. Edmonton Punk Rock Nervous Wreck, and Calgary Metalhead's Enemy Us. That's right now, and this is You Won't Lie Down. NMES were one of the bands on the bill for that implant show in Calgary at the start of the month, and they definitely shredded Dickens that night. In the next few days, we'll have their set from that evening uploaded to our various places on the web, so keep an eye out for that. These guys formed back in 2006, and through some roster changes, put out their debut album, The Worth of Man, in 2011. Here's another banger off that album, Hard Bitten. Link up with this five-piece at myspace.com/enemyus or through the link on today's show page at thegrindprc.ca. We're going to leave you off with Tits from Enemy Us.
You
implants, these walls.
Grind, volume 145. We've got a few guys here from the Implants. You guys just ripped a set in Calgary for a one-off. It was your first international appearance. How do you feel it went tonight?
I thought it went great.
I had an absolute blast, minus getting used to the altitude. It was awesome. I coughed up a storm. I thought I lost like maybe two lungs, but other than that, I had a blast.
I feel gay.
So, half you guys here, we're the half. What the fuck am I talking about?
Three-fifths of us, yeah.
Oh, the math is terrible. Where are the other guys right now? Are they avoiding us, snacking?
No, they're snacking, they're eating, and, talking to our loved ones back at home. So, I have no loved ones.
So,
I'm good. I'm enjoying my wine here. Besides my mom and dad, but my mom's asleep.
They could walk in any minute now. Yeah. You don't know that.
That's what I'm afraid of, actually.
That's even better.
I thought you were scared.
We'll
a whole group thing.
Oh, shit.
You guys have a full length that you are currently working on shopping around. I understand. I heard some information. I don't want you to divulge it today because it's not ready to get out. But you're in some talks with some record labels that some people might be interested in hearing that, eh?
We have people that are interested, definitely, for sure. But right now we need to talk to them again.
Mm-hmm.
Before we see
when do you think you might be releasing that full length?
Our goal is honestly to have it out by spring. I mean, if we have it out by then, I'd be stoked on it.
But what we stopped doing...
Oh, hey, right. Rob! Yeah. Rob, they're waiting for you!
Hey, Rob, come here.
Rob, please, for the love of God.
Great value.
No? Okay.
Scared away. Do you guys have a title for it yet?
No, we don't have a title, but what I was saying was we're done saying that it's coming out soon. Because after a year and a half, people kind of get tired of hearing that. So besides this interview, we'll let people forget that we were ever recording a record. So when it comes out, it'll be like, whoa, cool. We didn't even know you were doing this.
Out of left field, eh?
Instead of every 2 weeks saying, it's almost done. It's almost done.
Yeah.
So. Watching you guys on stage, obviously you guys, for the most part, except for, you know, locking other people in elevators and shit like that. You guys are pretty good friends. You have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
We love people already, so we love them. Tough love.
Yeah. Tough love.
For Chris, anyway. For the rest of us, it's love.
The two Chrises have been together for way too long, just coming off the 10-foot pole tour.
Yes.
Delightful.
We've got Ken joining the interview here.
Come on in, Ken.
How sexy.
Hey, Ken.
How's it going?
Sit down. Yeah, so yeah, we just got done. Me and Chris enjoyed our little 10-day stint in Australia, and
they don't have kangaroos there.
They don't. Koalas. We didn't see any of those.
Bullshit.
I did actually enjoy some kangaroo steak.
I was gonna say
though.
I heard you ate some kangaroo.
Yeah, it was sweet and salty.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, 10 days. It was like nonstop. We actually literally flew home and then flew here the next day. It was like three seasons in 72 hours. So, but here we are at 10 degrees.
-10 Celsius.
Yeah.
Bear once was a time when I
guys have a couple big shows coming up too before the end of the year. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we're playing with Jim's counterpart in a couple weeks.
Pulley. Right. And oh yeah, by the way, we're gonna be here next week. I forgot to sit on stage.
You did.
It won't now actually. No one's gonna come next week.
Yeah, so I hope you enjoyed the Pulley show last week. And if you're in LA, then following we'll be playing with the Vandals and Angry Samoans on the 22nd at the House of Blues in Hollywood.
Yeah, you guys are more than welcome to come down.
We might just have to do that. We'll get Dave to fly us down.
For sure.
You should.
Yeah. Apparently it's loaded.
Loaded.
Flies everyone everywhere.
Did we mention the Vandals show?
Yeah, we're playing with the Vandals for the Winter Formal. And and then we're also doing a show in Lompoc, which is kind of like San Luis Obispo, California, with his counterpart Pulley. And then we have a couple shows in January, and that's just a couple local shows around Southern California. Hensley's, Flying Elephant, and the Glass House. And then we're going to start booking more shows as they go along.
All have day jobs of some degree. Any plans on when the album comes out, if everything picks up the way you want it to? Could we see more extensive touring from Implants in the future?
I think I speak for all of us saying that it has to be right and the offer has to be good for all of us to leave our jobs and all the stuff. But
and we also, like what you said, the record's got to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want to go out without anything to promote. And you know, like tonight and all the other shows we played, nobody knows our songs except for the 4 songs that are posted on Facebook. So, you know, you got to have something for people that want to come in here.
Definitely.
So an extensive tour would mean, you know,
it's too early,
sounds greedy,
too early to say.
It would take a lot of money.
Yeah.
It never sounds good when you say it.
Yeah.
It always sounds greedy. So, yeah.
It's not greedy. It's just the fact that all of us have jobs that we do rely on.
I have a house, you know.
Yeah.
Kent's got a house. He's got
I have a house.
No, I had a house. I lost that one, too.
What happened?
I lost that house too.
Chris just got an apartment, and Rob has an apartment. So I mean, we all have bills to pay, and
ex-wives
to feed.
Life is always getting in the way of life, eh?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, I don't really have too many other questions. I mean, we've done a couple pre-interviews beforehand, but just wanted to get more than just the odd guy here or there that's on a strung out tour or a pulley tour or.
On an Implants tour through the desert.
Implants tour through the desert with spotty cell phone service. So
that was wonderful. Remember when on the way back, going to Palm Springs? Meg did a great job.
Yeah, thanks for the editing on that, Meg.
You're welcome.
That's Chris's fiance, by the way.
I must have had my finger shoved halfway through my head to not hear the outside noise and just holding the phone as close as I could. That was tough.
It was wonderful.
Van driving through the desert. It sounds romantic, but
but hopefully in the next couple of months we'll have some news about the record coming out, and so more to come on that hopefully.
In the meantime, I mean, just all I have to say is just wait patiently, and I promise you it will be worth it when it comes out.
Folks looking to connect with you online, where should they be going?
Facebook.com/implantsband, also SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm. And Reverb Nation.
Yep, that's it.
You guys have some shout outs to sponsors, Slaboratory Clothing.
Slaboratory Clothing, who actually our manager is, he's Gators glasses. Sunglasses, sorry. Not, you know, eyeglasses. They actually have those. Yamaha drums. Yamaha drums, Spicy Cymbals, and Vader and Schecter and
Charvel.
Charvel.
Ernie Ball.
Great value chips.
Walmart. The fucking grind at PRC.
There you go.
Yeah.
Promote.
Awesome, guys. Well, if there's anything else you want to get out there, now's the time. If not,
please be patient. It'll be worth it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
And we also heard Once Was I, all coming off of their four-song sampler that they were sharing with crowds in Australia and Calgary, and available at upcoming Implants shows in California. Our next From the Mailbox feature band is based out of Guayaquil, Ecuador, and have been playing that fast and melodic punk rock style since 2002. This is No Big Deal with Jet Lag Under. We'll be right back. track is off of a four-way split from 2011 called The New Onda Is Like a Mera Shit with Gollywog, Play Attention, and 1000 Degrees. No Big Deal released their first album in 2008 and followed that up with a tour of Peru and Colombia, garnering great response. 2012 has seen a few new song releases from these guys, including an appearance on a five-way split entitled It's No Big Deal That Billy Meyer Reset Their Brains in 69 Seconds on Mercy Street, with Reset, Mercy Street, 69 Segundos, and Billy Meyer. The split was mixed and mastered by Scott Sellers of Rufio and Mercy Street fame. Here's Freckles off of that split. No Big Deal online at nobigdealpunk.bandcamp.com. Here's another new song from them, 12 and 2 AM, the single from their upcoming album.
Hear you whisper to me through the night.
around 10 minutes until our interview feature on the Snips. But now, some pulley. As long as we can still believe, The long and the short of it, off of Pulley's EP of the same name, and we just heard Nervous Wreck with Understand. Pulley playing three shows in Alberta with Belvedere last weekend, two in Calgary and one at the Pawn Shop in Edmonton, where these hometown punks kicked off the night with a solid set. Few years on the E-Town scene, and Nervous Wreck has recently put out an EP called Walking Distance, a catchy, up-tempo throwback sound to earlier waves of punk that keeps my toe tapping. Here's another off that EP, Down. ReverbNation.com/NervousWreck780 to hear the rest of that EP. One last one from them on today's show. This is Help Me.
Do the walk.
Eyes of Low, The Snips with Dirty Water.
With words I will deliver, they might as well be drowned in the dirty well and river. My body's
Welcome back to The Grind on punkradiocast.com. We've got Chris Acarsi from The Snips, guitarist extraordinaire. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I appreciate the extraordinaire that you're so kindfully placing in there at the end of the guitarist. Right. Thanks for that, buddy.
No problem at all. Now, you guys have your latest album came out in August of this year, Highs of Low. It's a 10-track album, lots of great songs on this. You guys have an interesting way of distributing this online. Do you want to tell the listeners where it's available and how they can pick it up?
It's pretty much available everywhere. You could do what you want. I mean, we are basically giving it away for free. You can pay what you can. You can donate through Bandcamp. Go to iTunes and pay, I think it's like $2.99 for the record there. We have physical copies, so like CD. We also have vinyl available. All that stuff is through our merch store as well. And then we're working on some different distro ideas at the moment as well. So it's not going to be like in a store, but you could totally get it at our merch store or anywhere online.
Lots of different options. I love that you guys put this out on vinyl. A lot of great records coming out these days on vinyl, and I was happy to see that you guys did not stray from that medium.
Yeah, no, we were stoked to get it done. It was actually, we'd been approached by a few different people, and we thought it was going to come out sooner than it did on the vinyl, but the last group of people that we spoke with, it kind of fell through for some reason, but there was a guy, a label in Austria, in Vienna, Badass Records. They just kind of pressed vinyls for us so we could have them when we were out there in September on our tour. And so we just kind of had a few of those left over, so he let us bring some back to sell here because we didn't have any in the North American territory.
That's pretty awesome. We should probably talk about that European stint there. All over the place. You played in London as well as a lot of the continental European places as well, hey?
Yeah, I seen something online where it said that we were in the UK, but I think there was like a misconnect on there. Like, we did not do any UK, but we were all mainland Europe on the west coast of that. So we did 9 different countries. A lot of Germany. We did some Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, France, Italy, Switzerland, Slovenia, and Austria as well. So that was our first time out there. It was amazing. I can't wait to go back there. Hopefully we'll get back out there in 2013 at some point.
Awesome. Besides not hitting London, it sounds like you hit a lot of the countries that a lot of the punk rock regeneration is happening within. I was surprised when I saw, oh, there's punk shows going on in Slovenia, and then, you know, the more and more I'm connected to it through, thanks to the internet, it's just amazing to see that, you know, it might be dying here in various places and pockets in North America, but it is still alive over there, as well as a lot of new bands coming out from there as well. Did you guys have any bands that you ended up playing with over there that really stuck out in your mind?
Well, we went over with a band from the States called Divided Heaven. And it's just an acoustic project from our buddy Jeff Berman, who sometimes will do stuff with Protagonist. And so it was us and him all the way through on the 30 dates. And then off and on, we would connect with different bands. A band that we ended up becoming bros with were Fights and Fires, and they're from the UK.
Okay.
We played like 3 or 4 shows with them separately on this stint because we were crossing paths, and then that worked out really well. And then a lot of just one-offs with other bands, some cool bands, though, for sure. The Narwhals we played with, they were awesome. They're another UK band that we're touring at the time when we were out there. So we kind of made some good contacts and hope to go back next year with some of those guys.
That is awesome. Now, you guys have plans for an American tour as well coming up?
Yeah, like we did. We played the Fest in October. Well, I guess, was it at the end of October? Yeah, it was right at the end of October. Sometimes it falls into November, but based on the weekend that it is around Halloween weekend. But yeah, it was before Halloween this year. So we did that. And we do plan to do some more dates. We have some Canadian stuff, like more so Ontario and Quebec, happening in December, like of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see what next year takes us, and hopefully getting some West Coast stuff going too, because it's always difficult. It's always easy to go east, but to go west, just with bigger gaps and longer drives. We've done it before, but we want to kind of package it up and get out there with somebody, and then work our way down to California from BC.
Oh, awesome! And that's something you want to do when the weather is better as well. You don't want to be driving, you know, the 2 or 3 days it takes to get out of Ontario and then into Winnipeg, and just facing the Canadian Shield at its worst time ever.
Yeah, Winnipeg is definitely a big bitch.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the dates that you do have locked down right now. As we're talking to you today, tomorrow, December 6th, you guys will be playing Burley Calling Fest. Great festival there, and that kicks off 9 days of your Ontario and Quebec touring, and you'll also be playing some dates, or a date with the Flatliners and Polar Bear Club to kick off their 10 years at Sea Tour. Do you want to talk about some of the excitement that you have for those shows coming up?
Yeah, we play tomorrow. We're in Burlington. So we play the Burley Calling on the first day at the, I think it's Joe Dogs is the name of the venue we're playing. It's for the Spicoli's reunion, so that'll be awesome. And then we go to Sherbrooke in Quebec for Friday with our buddies the Hunters, and we do the same on Saturday. We're in Three Rivers, or Trois-Rivières if you're a French-Canadian like myself. And then we come home on the Sunday, and then we are Wednesday. We're with the Flatliners, Polar Bear Club, and the Menzingers in St. Catharines at L3. And then Friday, Saturday, again, the 14th and 15th, we're in Windsor and London, Ontario.
That is a good stretch of dates.
Yeah, and then we come home for the after the weekend again. So we basically have been planning on trying to do weekend stuff just in December.
Mm-hmm.
And then it works out that the 20th we're going to be in Montreal, so that's a Thursday. And then Friday we're in Toronto at Sneaky D's for the Life Story Monologue. They're doing their last shows on a tour, so we got the Toronto date with them. And then 22nd was supposed to be Barrie, but that ended up getting canceled, so we're going to reschedule for next year. And then we have Welland, our hometown, on either the 28th or 29th. I'm not sure because there was a toss-up. We were supposed to have Brantford on the 29th, but that's for some reason falling through as well, so that's going to have to be rescheduled for next year. So we might move well into the Saturday. So, and then January 11th, we're in Hamilton at the Corktown.
No, I don't feel love that you bring my finger down. Wear no diamond.
I gotta ask, are you involved in booking these dates?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I'll talk to people and they'll be like, yeah, I know we're playing some places, but maybe check the website. But you have it locked down pretty good, man.
Yeah. So I guess that does come with booking the dates. Our buddies in the Hunters had done the Quebec dates to book those ones. And then we did, myself did the Ontario dates with a couple of the other guys helping me out. So that's usually how it works. We've always had like a non-exclusive deals with agents or whatever, so it's always usually just been in-house with us. Not that we don't want to be a part of any booking agency rosters, but it's just never kind of worked out that way for us, so we just kind of been always doing it in-house and pretty much how we get our shit done.
You've been playing music for a while. I gotta ask you, how have you seen the musical landscape change as an artist, be it now that your latest album is out? It's, as you say, something that you can either buy, pay what you want, or you've got a little, you could steal it, which, you know, happens, but you guys are quite upfront about it and saying, like, you know, if you want to steal it from our website legitimately and come out and support us at the shows. How has that changed since you started playing?
I don't know. I think, like, yeah, we've been a band. Like, we've had different evolutions of this kind of band, of our band, of the Snips. So we've been doing it since, like, 99, just as kids in high school, you know, weren't really serious about it. Over the years, we've evolved musically and what we've been interested in playing and what our influences are. And I don't know, we just, you know, we've always had this mentality that we want to do this because we like doing it, and that's why we definitely put this record out on our own. We don't have any label attachment or anything like that. It comes out on Rival Party Records, but that's just the five of us in our jam space. That's the name. Like, you know, we made that up and put it out on that. And so we just wanted to just do what we wanted to do and not have to answer to anyone. And so we figured if we offer it on every platform in every single way, then people might take to it. Some people donate, some people steal, whatever. At least, like you said, we're upfront about it. And if you're gonna, you know, we don't want to shun people away from listening to it because they've, you know, they don't want to drop $10 or $5 on the record. So, you know, listen to it for free. If you like it, then come out to the show. And it's worked out fairly well for us in that aspect. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's always an evolving thing. It used to be all about being on labels and wanting to get on a major label and this and that. And now it seems like every time you get onto a label or you get further in your career, you just want to be on your own and doing it yourself and releasing your own music because there's no hands in your pocket. So
yeah.
I mean, we haven't really been able to experience it on that front where we've been complaining that our label is taking too much money from us because we've never really been on a label that has even put any money into us anyway. So it's really come down to just us saying, you know, fuck it, we're just going to do it on our own. So that's what we did.
Right on. You got to love that attitude, though. I mean, that kind of mentality takes you far, I think, and gets you through some of those tough moments where, you know, you're kind of questioning, do I bang my head against the wall another time, you know, trying to put out something new in this ever-changing musical landscape? And there's the love of it that keeps people going. And I think that's it's awesome that you guys have that.
I like how you said the ever-changing musical landscape. Did you read that on one of the things that we wrote?
No, it's almost one of those cliches that just kind of seeps into my mind when I'm trying to look for words to say.
No, because it's funny, because we did, you know, you have to make a bio, you have to make the bio and this and that, so we did something for, like, a press release, and we wrote that, and we all looked at it and laughed, and whatever, it looks good on paper, and the fact that you're, like, saying it now, and you didn't even read it from us, so that's pretty amazing that we're on the same page.
Well, now that you're calling me on that, that might have been in my subconscious, because I had read the PR from Melanie Kay, so that's, you guys did a good job on that, it's in there.
It's all good, that's so funny, though. Yeah, it's been a good ride, and that's pretty much it. Like, highs of low, that's kind of depicts all the highs and lows that we've had creating this record. It's taken a while for us to get it out because we were working with, we had some management, again, I guess, in a non-exclusive basis, but then that kind of whittled its way out, and we just kind of got rid of all of that and did it ourselves, like I've been saying. So, you know, there was some high points and there was low points, and just, I don't know, we just figured, sure, let's just call it that because it makes sense, sort of.
Now, this is a ridiculous question, and yet I always find myself asking it. Do you have a favorite track on this album, one that stands out more to you than the other 9 tracks?
I always thought it was awesome, but like we've been playing it more so lately. We started playing it when we were in Europe, and song 10, Oh Brother, like it's awesome.
Oh,
reflect the fence I reject. I hope that you will be back.
I love it. Tony, the other guitar player in the band, was the one who wrote it, and it was just like one of those things that came together really well. And we try and be so nitpicky about the way we write songs and like, oh, it's only A and D and back to that again. Like, why can't we add something more and make it more meticulous? And that song was really just that. And then we just used that shell, put some, like, Ricky had some great lyrics and good melodies. And then the song evolved from that. And just hearing it now, it's the simplest song that we have on that record. And I think it shows a lot of passion, and it feels really good. And that one, so at this point in time, is my favorite on the record.
That's awesome. Now, did you guys approach recording Highs of Low any differently than when you worked on your 2010 EP Blackout?
Yeah, well, we worked with a different guy in the studio this time. So we did it with Dan Weston. He's done a bunch of stuff. He's been a buddy for a bunch of years as well. So we kind of liked the sound. He did the new Living with Lions record. Mm-hmm. And we really liked the sound of that. And his approach is really cool, too. So he really kind of put you through the grinder, and we did a lot of... We wanted to do some experimenting, but he kind of cut us off on that, and all the experimenting we did was in the pre-pro section.
Okay.
So we recorded this record in demos, and then did some work with it, and then re-recorded the demos, and we're like, okay, this is good, and then went to the studio and then laid it down. So there was really, like, no surprises in the studio. All of the surprises were... when we were ripping our hair out the weeks before we recorded to make sure that we knew exactly what we were doing when we got in the studio. And I think it worked out really well between myself. Like, he had us record everything, like, each guy's individually kind of thing. But, okay. Like, so we laid the drums down, but we all retract with Fuller, but we laid bed tracks. And then from there, when it was guitar time, it was just me and Tony in the studio. No one else was allowed to be there. It's like nobody in there saying, well, why don't you try this and yeah. this and that. So it gave us something really cool that way, because Tony's going for something completely differently than I am as far as sounds and tones and all this and the types of guitars and amps that and pedals that we like to use. So with the two of our opposites combined, it really came up with something really organic. And then obviously Barty laid his bass on after that, and then vocals came after. So it was really... it was really just a fun, great process. We went to three different places. We did the drums at Jukasa in Oshweken on the Indian Reserve, and then we did the guitars and bass at Riot Hill Studios in Fall Hill. And then we did the vocals at The Box, which is Weston studio space that he has in Mississauga.
Awesome.
It all came together lovely.
Yeah, I got to say, everything, all the elements came together nicely from my ear, my uneducated musical fan-loving ear. We'll be right back. Now, you guys have an official video for a track called Microscope, but you also have a lot of fan videos. So do you want to tell me about how that went down and just how the interaction between the fans and the band?
Yeah, so we, again, because we had the ability to do what we wanted to, we pre-released the record through videos.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 10 videos made, one for each song on the record by a different director, with a fan or a friend or another guy in another band or something like that, but none of us had any involvement in it. And they just got a song and made a video, and then heard 10 days before the record was released. Track one was done 10 days before, and then track two was 9 days before. We released them all until, and then finally the release day, the last one had been out, and then you would have streamed the whole record for free if you chose to do so beforehand.
A lot of cool work on that too. I didn't have a chance to watch all of them. I watched a few, but one that really stood out to me was the video for Times.
How it's all not CGI, but it's animated.
Like my best quick reference off the top of my head right now is the Monty Python style esque elements of just animation to it. That just, oh wow, really good.
But that's the one with the sun, right? And the mushroom blinking.
That
stuff.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, so our buddy Quinto Borghese did that one, and yeah, that's his deal. He does that stuff, so he, we just gave everybody free reign, do what you want to do, so that's what he decided to do, and it was great. Some people did, story-type music videos, mm-hmm. if you will, where they had, a storyline that kind of all came together in the end. There was another animated one that was just, for Better Part of Never, and that one was just a piece of line paper, and it was a drawing, and it was the never-ending line that molds into all these different things, and you see all the images and stuff. So a lot of cool stuff, and in the end, everybody got some exposure out of it, so a lot of people that are in film are trying to get involved in the industry in one way or another, so they were more than happy to make a video. And then for us, it worked out because we got to put our record out there for free for everyone, and we got 10 sweet free videos out of it.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a really awesome way to debut a record and just make more connections with industry people and fans and everyone alike. I think that is something you might be doing for your next release. Or do you guys have some other ideas that?
Yeah, well, we're always trying to think outside the box, or in the Taco Bell world, outside of the bun. We love Taco Bell. Yeah, so I don't know, we'll probably do some other type of interaction thing, but I personally haven't thought of anything yet, but we're working on probably some EPs and splits before we put out another full length, but the goal is to have some material come out next year, and then either end of next year a full length, or early the year in 2014 have the next full length. So we have a bunch of stuff in the can already. We just kind of are deciding how we want to release it, whether through a split or through compilations or through an EP or just saving for the full length. So we're just trying to figure that out.
And let's be fair. I mean, your most recent album did just come out a couple months ago, so I shouldn't be asking about new stuff already.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, it's fine. It came out in August, and we want to just keep pumping stuff out so that people know that we exist. I mean, but the thing, too, about that record is some of those songs have, to us, are pretty old. If you hadn't heard our band before and then this record just came out, you wouldn't know it. But, three of those songs had been written and should have been on Blackouts. But Blackouts was going to be a full-length record,
mm-hmm.
but it got cut into being an EP, and then we left some of the songs out, and then those songs ended up being on this new full-length, and that was something that was happening back 3 years ago as well. We had we don't really have to get into it, but yeah, we had some stuff going on 3 years ago, so we just decided that we would do an EP at that point and see what that did with us and keep those songs. Yeah, I mean, whatever. You look back, and it would have been nice to have them out because the record would be different now, but I think Highs of Low is the best that we've ever come up with as a package, also as individual songs, and just as a whole, that Highs of Low is the best that the Snips have done to date, so I'm glad that it turned out the way it is, and I wouldn't change anything about it.
I gotta say, it's a great representation of the band, and I look forward to future material and catching you guys live out in the West in the coming year.
Awesome. I really appreciate your time and kindness, and hopefully we will see you soon too, brother.
Most definitely. Was there anything else you want to get out to all the listeners here before we close it down?
No, just go steal that record.
And they can go do that if they don't want to be charged with shoplifting. They can do that online at...
Yes, of course. Yeah, just go to thesnips.com, and then obviously you can go to our Facebook page, and it'll send you to all of our different pages, the YouTube channel where you can see all the videos. We had been doing a bunch of recording vlogs too, so there's like six, I think, episodes of us in the studio tracking the record. We did a lot of that, and then the new video for the official video for Microscope just came out. And yeah, you can see that on our site as well.
And the best place to connect with you guys is, quite honestly, come out to a show, see you live, enjoy the energy there, and pick up a shirt, pick up a CD or vinyl or whatever your listening device can handle, and make sure you check these guys out live. Chris, I want to thank you very much for your time.
Awesome, thank you, brother.
All right, enjoy your tour dates and your holidays, and as I say, I'll see you hopefully next year.
Yeah, man, for sure. Happy holidays.
All right, you too. Cheers.